Welcome back to Truvon Talks with Rachel and Linda.
Yay!
Yay!
Happy to be back.
So happy you're back, Rachel.
Yeah, feels good.
Yeah, so you were on maternity leave and now you're back and getting back in the flow. How's it going for you?
It's going well. Yeah, we're transitioning. We're adapting.
So good.
Yeah. Nice to be using my brain for something work related and not just keeping a precious little baby alive, you know? Yeah.
True.
Love our topic today. We're going to
Yeah.
talk about dissociative identity disorder.
This is a disorder that's had a lot of controversy historically. Because people didn't believe that that was possible for people to have several personalities. And the studies show that this is a possibility if you've had extreme trauma,
Like
sexual, physical.
severe, the most severe, like what
Yes.
people think of when they think of childhood trauma. Yeah.
Yeah. Usually by a primary caregiver. So the physical, sexual, and emotional abuse, that happens to an individual as a child creates what the disorder is. They create separate personalities to parent, manage, protect, and self-soothe the individual. And because that doesn't exist for them. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like an extreme way to cope under extreme trauma.
Very well said. Yes. And it's the movie that we're going to do a clip of. We're going to show a demonstration of what the typical therapist might do to engage those parts of self that have split off. I don't know what the number is, Rachel, of how many personalities one individual has developed through their trauma. I think in this clip it's like 24. So.
That's what she says, 24 different personalities. I'm sure it's different for everybody. There could be a lot.
And in this movie, the beast, of course, it's Hollywood, so they make it sensational and, radical and all that stuff. But the beast is part of the protector part, I think, in the scenario here that shows up to ward off the trauma, the abuse from the mother. So, yeah, and it's kind of a heavy topic. But I was running through clips, and trying to figure out what would be something that maybe our listeners aren't that familiar with would be, interested in understanding a little bit more.
Yeah. And this used to be referred to as multiple personality disorder. When the DSM was updated to version 5, they changed it to dissociative identity disorder. So that is the term that is used now. Yeah.
Yeah. And would you like me to read off some of those symptoms? Do you think that would be helpful for our
Please
listeners?
do. Yeah, I think that would be helpful before we show the clip so that people can kind of look for it as they watch. Yeah.
Cool. So this is the DSM-5 manual, if you guys can see that. And the dissociative identity disorder is a disruption of identity character. Characterized by two or more distinct personality states, which may be described in some cultures as an experience of possession. The disruption in identity involves marked discontinuity and sense of self and sense of agency, accompanied by related alterations. We also call them alters in our field. In effect, in their affect, their facial expression will change. They'll go from this to this to, you know, just really quick changes there from the personality switch, the behavioral changes, consciousness, memory, perception, cognition, and the sensory motor functioning. So even their body language will change. Their body positioning changes. There's a real, it's not a mood swing. I think it's important to distinguish the two. Like,
Yes.
you know, it's not mania. Manic looks, it could, one of the parts, alters, could look like a manic episode, but it's not a mood change. It is a personality change.
Yeah, almost like they've taken on an entirely new identity. Like they've taken on an entirely new role. Like you
Yeah.
said, facial expression changes, the tone of their voice can change, the way they speak can change.
Yeah. The
Right? Like if
pace.
someone, yeah, the pace, if someone talks very, let's just say like Appalachian, right? That like regional dialect, they're using the slang. When an alter takes over, they might begin speaking very eloquently. They're going to use words that they don't normally use. The language shifts. They might
Yeah.
sit up straighter, whereas they usually maybe slouch, right? Or vice versa.
Yeah.
It'd be extremely different.
Yeah. Thank you for, you know, adding to, definitely. They have recurrent gaps in the recall of everyday events, important personal information, and traumatic events that are inconsistent with ordinary forgetting. They'll be in Vegas, but they don't know how they got to Vegas. That has happened.
Yes, missing time.
Missing time. Yeah. They cause clinically significant distress or impairment in their social, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. So when they go to work and, you know, their alter is triggered by a language or an affect by another individual, and that triggers their trauma response, they'll switch to that alter. So people will not understand in their work environment what just happened. Yeah. The symptoms are not attributable to the physiological effects of substance abuse. So in order to be diagnosed with dissociative identity disorder, there can be no drug or alcohol use. I think it's for more than 6 months. Is that correct, Rachel? I think it's.
I'm not sure, but I think just to be cl to clear this up, maybe it's like this happens. Even when the person is sober, this is not something that's only happening under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Because you can become a different person under the influence. You can act very differently and make choices that you would never make sober. Dissociative identity, these alters show up even when a person is sober, especially when a person is sober.
Yeah, it's not drug induced or alcohol induced.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that. So the memory thing is part of that. It's like they're not sure the experiences of unreality and detachment. They're just not really sure what's happening. They depersonalize from their experience a lot of the times when they're in their alter. And those are some terms I think you and I have talked about before in our podcast. Any other parts of the definitions you want me to read, or you think that'll be good for our intro into the video clip?
I think that's pretty good. And then we'll chat about it some more after we watch the clip.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a 6-minute clip, so if you're listening or watching, it might feel like a long time, but
Yeah.
here we go. We got time.
Yeah.
And I guess that you emailed me in the middle of the night for an emergency session due to garden variety issues.
I was down and I emailed you. And I woke up and I feel better. I feel better.
We had a thought. I want to talk about the incident at work. It's okay, Barry. You're safe. I just want to bring the details back. We'll just talk about the details. A high school from Camden, New Jersey was on a field trip at your place of work, and two young ladies came up to you, and one took your hand and put it under her shirt on her breast, and the second one did the same, and then they just ran off laughing to their friends. You surmised that it might be on a dare. You said they were 17 or 18. You said it upset you for days.
It was just a teenage prank. I get that now.
And see, that's my mistake. I believe that I went over this incident with you too fast. Although you said you were fine, and the other identities I met with said it was fine, I believe that this brought up issues from when you were a child and abused. Sometimes another incident of abuse can cause suppressed personalities to take the light. Dennis, if this is you, I completely understand why you felt the need to take over and protect the others.
Doctor, not this again.
The others told me that you and Patricia told the group about this beast, and I told them that these are just scary stories that Dennis and Patricia tell the others to scare them. How this beast can crawl on walls like the best rock climbers, using the slightest friction and imperfections to hold his body close to seemingly sheer surfaces. How his skin is thick and tough like the hide of a rhinoceros. Do you really believe the stories about the beast? If this is you, Dennis, I understand why Kevin needs you. You are strong and disciplined, you are precise, and you will not be taken advantage of. You can trust me. For example, I do have the ability to use Kevin's full name and bring him forward as he has in the past. But I wouldn't do that. I know that that would be chaos for all of you. Everyone would grab the light. I don't want to hurt any of you that way. You don't have to hide. I know you are someone who cares for Kevin. You are not evil to me. You were necessary. Dennis, is that you?
They keep calling us the Horde. The others, you know. Miss Patricia and I, we are ridiculed. Now, we're not perfect, but we don't deserve to be ridiculed. We're all struggling. They have to admit that.
I am pleased to meet you, Dennis.
Too.
I assume you don't know who emailed me for the emergency sessions.
One of the others.
Are you in charge?
Yeah, we've taken charge. We're the only ones that can protect Kevin.
We're all here to protect Kevin.
He's very weak. He doesn't know how powerful we can be.
Would you mind telling me when you first came into existence? And how you and Patricia, the other undesirable identity, became aligned? That's okay. Do you still have strong beliefs?
That depends on what.
This story of the beast. One thing, Dennis, that may comfort you if you are confused is that you've met the other alters. You're all in a room and chairs, right? But you never met the beast, because he doesn't reside with the rest of you. Because he resides in the train yard, as the story goes, because Kevin's dad lived on a train. But the fact is, you and Patricia have never met the beast, have you? Well, that's because he's not an alter. He's not the 24th identity. He's a fantasy.
You pause. Well, that's the end of it, right? She just dismissed his alter.
Or Jade. Oops. Or starting again. There we go.
Okay. Thank you for sharing the clip.
Yeah. Thanks for finding it.
Yeah. So what do you like about her style of therapy?
I like her slow pace, for sure. That's something that we absolutely use in emotionally focused therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like how she slows it down. She focuses really well.
Yeah. And she creates a lot of safety for him and the alters.
Yes, acceptance, that unconditional positive regard.
Very Carl Rogerian.
Mm-hmm.
Rogerian.
It's a tough one to say, Rogerian. Yeah.
Rogerian. Yeah. Thank you. So you notice him moving from, he was Dennis in the beginning and then moved into Ket. Let's see. Wait, no, he was
Patricia into Dennis, maybe.
Yes. There we go. And you noticed him move and shift. So from Patricia to his masculine alter.
Mm-hmm.
And that his inner child is weak. Kevin is weak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this movie was pretty fantastical, of course, and had a lot of, you know, in our field, a lot of bearing on what DID looks like. I felt like it was like, wow.
This is the movie Split, correct? Is that the name of it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, you know, they sensationalize it and make it entertaining. And it's very sad that someone would have to have that many different personalities to survive. So.
Yeah. I'm surprised he is able to work and have a job with 24 different personalities, alters. I mean, that would be so hard to just function in everyday life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not really sure. What did you think about her techniques? I wasn't really sure what techniques she is using. Could be parts therapy, kind of like with Robert Schwartz, a little bit of the parts therapy, what all the roles are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was some light internal family systems happening, but I agree with you. I'm not sure what model of therapy, if any, she's really using there.
I don't like, if you've not seen the movie, I recommend it. I don't like that she's diminishing or dismissing the need for that alter, the beast. The beast, as Carl Jungian would say, we all have a shadow side. So I think the shadow was a necessary alter that he needed to survive the psychological and physiological abuse of his mother. And I don't like the therapist minimizes that in the end of this clip.
I agree with you. Yeah. In my mind, that monster, or like, I like how you call it the shadow self, like that is the trauma, I think.
Yeah.
I don't want to dismiss that.
Yeah. And to distinguish those two, Carl Jung probably would say the shadow is our darker side, maybe not necessarily an alter personality, but I think the shadow plays into that. You know, You have to have that inner monster there to show up sometimes to protect yourself. So her therapy model would not probably be one. I think I like parts of it. What do you think, Rachel?
Yeah, I think so. And this is just, a 6-minute clip. We don't know what the whole session might have looked like in real life, but yeah, I think nice slow pace, unconditional positive regard. She's very patient, very open and accepting. But I don't know. Just like you said, kind of dismissive about the monster.
Yeah, that's where the therapist messed up. It's kind of what Rachel and our podcast we're going to be about for a little bit, is these clips of where we feel like the therapist in the movie did a good job or didn't do such a good job.
Yeah. But this is also the first time she's meeting this is it Dennis? So, maybe she's kind of trying to gain some rapport with this altar. I don't know what her strategy is.
But she's doing a terrific job in that she's created that safety that he could even show that part. And that's something about I love in therapies when people become vulnerable and feel safe enough to share all those parts with us. And that's why I love eFit and I do like IFS, internal family therapy, because we all have parts of self to survive.
I like that they humanized in a good way the therapist in this scene by showing her kind of dabbing her eyes in response to the altar, like acknowledging that it is him, it is Dennis, you can tell moved to see this individual making progress, which I think that's a reality, but like as a therapist, you're so invested in helping your client, you can't help but be moved, when progress.
It's so good. That is it. Yeah, I noticed she did that, and they are doing a better job depicting therapists be real instead of so detached.
Yeah, not every therapist is like, totally stoic and poker face. Yeah.
Your back, like he's not laying on a couch with his back turned. I like that. They're not the Freudian look there. So we liked parts of what she did, and we liked some parts we would say don't dismiss his inner beast. So, if people are suffering with this type of personality disorder, or you lose track of time, or you're feeling like not yourself very frequently, highly recommend pursuing mental health care. Definitely want to get in there and get you some help.
I would highly recommend finding a therapist that feels confident and has worked with this specific diagnosis before, because I have not, and I would not feel ethically competent enough because it's just so unique and so specialized, this
It
type of treatment.
It's probably a training of its own.
Would hope, yeah.
I think IFS does probably something along those lines with the trauma. I think so. I have to
They
look into
do. I know Dr. Frank Anderson talks about he's done some work
Oh, good.
using IFS, so.
It's such a delicate therapy. You have to be so mindful of when you're bringing forth another personality that they, don't react to you as a therapist in a negative way. So it's certainly needs training.
That they don't react to you or leave and react to your client in a negative way. You know, have an alter that is, self-harming, and you're working with that alter before they're ready, they could leave the session and do some serious harm.
Yeah, so true. So ethically, certainly find someone that's trained in this type of therapy if you do have that diagnosis. So yeah, I just don't like that she dismissed at the end, but I like her other parts, the acceptance, positive regard, creating safety, all the things that we as therapists do to create an atmosphere where you feel comfortable being present. Yeah.
I think instead of dismissing, what would you have preferred to see her do? Yeah, what would you have liked to see her do there as far as that monster goes? I'm curious.
Okay, are you gonna be Dennis?
I'll try.
Okay.
I'm role playing.
Yeah, you want? Do you want to?
Oh, I don't. Yeah, fine. That's fine. I thought
Okay,
that's.
great. Yeah, Rachel and I are gonna role play. I'm gonna play therapist, and she's gonna play Dennis, like in the clip we just showed. And I'm gonna show how I would have approached it. Again, this isn't my specialty, but just given my history and the 20 years I've been doing this, I would approach it a little different. So, yeah. So we're gonna role play starting now. So, Dennis, you say that you have met the beast. Or have you ever experienced the beast?
No, I'm
Ever?
not the beast.
How do the others know that he exists?
I don't know. I think the others, they're weak. They
Yeah.
amongst themselves and come up with things. They can't really be trusted.
Yeah. So when they've told me, yeah, you're right. There probably are some fear there, weakness there, as you say, weakness. Yeah. So how would you say they've come up with the idea that the beast exists when they're all together in the room?
I think they're scared.
They are scared of the beast. Yeah. Yeah. So they have a reason to be scared, you think?
I'm sure they probably have a reason. I don't find it helpful, though. Patricia and I have to work really hard to keep everyone in line. They let their feelings get the best of them.
Yeah. Yeah, Dennis, is it possible that the beast sometimes shows up when everyone needs protected? Is that possible?
That he shows up when everyone needs protected.
Yeah, when they feel scared of, external people that might hurt them.
So the beast is protecting the other altars.
Yeah, and maybe you and Patricia.
I guess it's possible.
Yeah. What do you feel when you hear that?
Never thought of it that way. A little confusing. A little
Yeah.
confusing. I thought myself and Patricia were the ones protecting the others. Guess I never really thought that maybe we need protected too, Patricia and I.
Oh, yeah. By something very strong and very, very can get really rageful when necessary.
Yeah. Something dark.
Yeah. Because when you were a little kid, you couldn't protect yourself or the others from mom. Well, that's all we'll talk about right now for the beast. I appreciate you being here and showing up today. Thank you, Dennis.
We'll end the role play. Yeah. So you were. frame would be trying to get this altar to understand that this monster, this beast, is protective part of self. Gotcha.
How do you like that?
I like that. I think that's helpful. Right.
Yeah.
I think everyone needs to feel protected or be protected, no matter how strong and brave you are.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I think I would investigate more and not dismiss the idea that the beast exists. Yeah. So the goal would be to eventually have the others control the beast.
Like it kind of accept the beast, and then maybe over time, as the beast is less feared, it will soften and become more manageable. I like that.
Tame the beast.
Tame the beast. I like that. Beautiful. Beautiful.
That's where I would go. I don't know. Thank you. So how did you like that clip? How was this today for you?
It really makes me empathize with anyone experiencing dissociative identity disorder, because this clip, we just showed two alters, and like they mentioned, there's 24, because we are considering the beast one of the alters, so.
Yeah. So our perspective, and then at the end of the movie, she does realize the beast exists. You have to go watch the movie.
Like climbing walls and stuff, isn't he? Like actually.
Yeah. So how cool was this? This was fun, and I'm so glad Rachel's back.
Yes, I think it was a great intro back.
Yeah.
Looking forward to continuing the podcast.
Cool. We'll do our next clip on. I think it's Matt Damon, I think. Robin Williams.
Go hunting. Yes,
A
right?
good one. Lots of good clips in that one.
Yes. Less ethical. So we'll talk about some dilemmas.
True. Lot.
It'll be entertaining and fun, we hope. So thanks for listening. Until next time. Bye.